You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Time to join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster. This week our conversation centres around the figure of St. Gregory the Great. St. Gregory is a kind of friend of yours, isn't he? If he were to walk into your room now, what would you say to him?
Oh boy. Salve Optime Pontifex et Magister.
What was all that about?
Hail, hail, you Pope and good hope, Pope and teacher.
Gregory was a prolific writer of books and letters.
Yes,
no?
And he wrote about 840 letters. When we think of it, we have 840 letters from the 590, 604 period.
He didn't speak about any old thing. I mean, he must have spoken about something like pastoral theology, no?
Oh, yes, very much of that. And communities, and what to do with the oppressed and the poor. He was very much motivated in the area of help to the poor. He founded 7 monasteries. He was wealthy, and his family was, and he spent his life really giving money to the poor. And I see in some of his letters, he sent money and furniture and all this other stuff to different churches around Italy and Sicily.
Now, did he write this in his letters?
Oh, yeah, certainly, certainly.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He had this idea that you can't have a contemplative life without an active life.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He was, oportet coniungi vitam laboriosam et ociosam, or a life dedicated to work, vita laboriosa et vita ociosa, a life dedicated more or less to leisure. I have 2 letters right in front of me where he writes to St. Augustine of Canterbury.
Why did he have this thing about St. Augustine of Canterbury? Why did he send St. Augustine to Canterbury?
Well, because it was in those days, it was kind of the last outpost where Christianity really had not been preached heavily and fully, the 600s.
St. Augustine had to reach England. He had to cross the treacherous waters of the Channel and meet up with ferocious characters.
Yes, and he went over, and then he came back, and he was wavering all the time. And without Gregory's support, Augustine would never have persevered.
So he did a sort of U-turn, Augustine, at one point.
In versio itinerans, turn around your journey there. But it's interesting how Gregory tells him to make bishops in London, York, and then 7 other bishops. Very, very interesting. Oh, the students loved it. At one point, I'm sure people are interested today, he said, once you make the bishop in York, he said he should be consecrated by his own synod. And there's emphasis here and other letters too. He's encouraging the people to find and elect their own bishop as soon as possible. It's interesting to see how much authority that Gregory gave to the individual community in nominating and finding their bishop.
Like Vatican II.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people would love that. Not on many, many occasions. He said, what are you waiting for? You need a bishop, get together and vote and elect your bishop. And, of course, and then they went ahead with the consecration of the bishop. And Gregory thought it was great.
He had this great idea of dialogue, didn't he?
He had a problem with the East, especially. The Eastern Empire, even with the Lombards in Italy. He made, peace with the Lombards, barbarians, who had invaded Italy, and he held that together. And also he reconciled, in a certain sense, the Patriarch of Constantinople, but where he inserted the predominance of the See of Rome over Constantinople.
That created a lot of problems, no?
Well, yeah, it kind of began it. But see, the Eastern Empire was going down. Rome had gone down already, but something new like Middle Age Rome is coming out of it. And he was leading the restoration of Rome. It's really incredible.
How would you say that in Latin?
Oh, ecomius un re vere, vere, re vera incredibilia. De Gregorio Nunciantur, atque ecclesiae Anglice Inicies, and about the beginnings of the church in England. Here you see the church in England being founded. Almost, you know, Gregory is telling him almost what to do every single day. He had a whole litany of beautiful things that Augustine was able to do with these pagans and idol worshippers in Anglia, in England.
How do you say pagans and idol worshippers in Anglia?
He has some very strong words where he said, Gens Anglorum, the people of the Angles, calcat idola, is tramping down the idols, quibus prius lesano timore subiacebat, the idols to which before it was subjected with a crazy fear that the old pagan Britons idols because of the fear of the gods, etc. And now Augustine has brought them around and they are trampling down the idols. He's all excited about what Augustine did in England.
St. Augustine was also helped by the wife of the king, who was a Christian, no Bertha.
Bertha.
Well, she was the wife of King Ethelbert.
Ethelbert was pagan, and Gregory read letters to her, too. He says, listen, you better get after your husband and continue your work of converting him, which, of course, happened in the end. But you see in these letters, you can really, which I insist on even with Cicero, when they write letters like this, you can hear them speaking on the phone or texting. You can hear them speaking, really. It's so lively and so honest and sincere. It comes from the heart and very, very beautiful. Oh, yeah. Bertha. I didn't even realize there are 894 letters or something. I never dreamed out of the 6th century that they would have that much stuff still available.
You were listening there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, who's currently teaching in the United States, but who was for many years and under many popes, papal Latinist. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.